Ordinance number 246. Let's kneel in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come together this evening and another opportunity that we have to worship Thee and to hear one that has been called out of the world to speak to us concerning those things which are written in Your Word, to guide our minds, to instruct us in the things that we need to be about. And as that takes place, Lord, I pray that You'll touch our brother Mark's mind, heart, and soul, and tongue to be able to speak those words that we need to hear. Bless those that are sick, the afflicted, those who are lost, Lord. Help us to reach out for them, to truly be reapers, to gather those who would serve You together. And I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen. It's good to see each one of you here this evening. Oftentimes I stand here and say, well, now, what do I say next? Because each one of these fellows that comes here is like one of my brothers, because that's what they are. And I know them, but I have no idea what they will speak on, because I have placed that in God's hands to direct them. But I know that my brother Mark is determined to be useful to our Heavenly Father. And if he's going to be useful to him, then he's going to be useful to us as well, if we listen well. And so that's our purpose here tonight, to be listeners. And of course, his job is to be a speaker. Something that I know that he wants God's help in. So as you offer up a prayer for him, offer one for yourselves, that you'll be able to understand and comprehend those concepts that he would teach us, Brother Mark.
Thank you. I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you, I tried talking God out of this sermon several times. I even had a different one in mind that I almost started with, but then I always pray about what it is that the Lord would have me to say, because I don't really want it to be me. I want it to be the Lord. So I worry about that every time I'm asked to preach, and I'm worried about it this time because I'm going to talk about the sacrament of Christ. And that's an issue in this church. I'm not going to resolve any of the differences in the bread or wine. That's not what I'm going to talk about, so I hope it doesn't come across that way. A couple months ago, I was asked to do the reading for the sacrament service. And as I was pondering over what it is that I should say, I had a lot of things that were given to me, and I sat down and put some things down on paper, and Lana at that time asked me if we were going to get a sermon, and I said, I don't know, we might with everything that's flooding my mind. But I don't think we did. And I don't know if I'll be here next week. I'm on standby. Hopefully I will be, because I want to partake of the emblems that we have set aside for the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But as I was pondering over things, let me start out a different way here. I get to what I was pondering over. You know, I was called to be a priest, and I was had evidence to that, and I was ordained a priest, and everything was going great, and I had all the answers in the world. You know, I had everything figured out. I had the problems of the church figured out. But the thing is we're the church. You know, I mean, it's the people that make the church. And so Roger, he's praying about things, and he asked me to go on this missionary trip with him down into the southeast. And that was my first trip out, and great. We got to Manchester, Tennessee, and things weren't the way they are here. First of all, you meet in a furniture store. And the pews are lazy boy chairs. So you've got to be exciting to keep them awake. But the first thing that hit me that didn't bother me any. I mean, you know, we meet in homes and backyards and everywhere else. But it came time to serve and prepare the emblems for the sacrament. Not only was it not red that looked like blood, it was a really light colored spumante, which is a bubbly wine. And it was in individual cups. And that was foreign to me. And I thought, oh boy. So I had to do some talking with the Lord real quick, because as Roger was what do you want to call it when he wasn't? He was getting them ready. I don't know what else to say. It's like when I stood up 2 weeks ago and brought forth the reading, and I was preparing the emblems. And I didn't even think about it. But it was foreign to me, and so I thought, boy, Lord, I need some help here. What do I do? And he said, you serve it. And I said, okay. So I did. But you find out when you're out and about, things aren't always the way you want them to be, and you don't always get to serve your preference. At least I don't. And I've pondered over this, some of the problems in my head, to try to get it straight in my mind and try to figure it out. And I know that there's a whole lot of papers written out there on the subject by people in our church for whatever whatever your belief is. I don't want to call it sides because we're supposed to be on the same side. And we are. We're on the same side. We're on Christ's side. And I was going through, we got a new bedroom set, and I was cleaning out the old one, and I had all these papers and stuff stuck here and there and everywhere else from conferences past and what people have given me and what I'd looked up on my own and blah, blah, blah. And it seemed like just tons of information out there, and it's like, I can't handle it. So I thought, okay, what's the basic deal? And you know what I've come up with? I've come up with the sacrament of Christ is not about fermentation or unfermentation. It's not about leavened or unleavened. It's about remembrance of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And I'm not telling anybody that they're wrong or not wrong on what they decide their preference might be. But on page 177 of the Book of Mormon, that's where I'll start anyway. A few years ago, I'd like to tell you the year, and it may be 2003. I'm not quite sure. If I'm wrong, somebody surely will set me right, and that's okay. But the ministry met together here in this building to discuss these problems. And we were discussing, and you know, we weren't arguing, we were debating, because that's what we do. Which is good, because you get to hear one side and the other side, and you know, you get to hear all kinds of things that's good information. But I think we got to a point to where we just got God upset with us, and He told us so. And I don't have anything to quote because I couldn't find it, for one thing. I know I've got it somewhere. But this is what I got out of it, was we were told that the blood of Christ isn't ours. It's His. And we need to quit bickering over it. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm done bickering over if it should be fermented or unfermented, if it should be leavened or unleavened. Because I truly believe that we were told of God to leave it alone. Because we're not ready for an answer from God on what it is. We're not ready. And I know why we're not ready, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But I truly believe we got chastened that day. Chastised might be a better word. Because on page 177 in the book of Jacob, the third chapter, starting with the 22nd verse, it says, "But behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness, and killed the prophets, and thought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away His plainness from them, delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand, because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it, that they may stumble." Sometimes I really worry that when we come together to partake of the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I really worry about a lot of us, myself included, a lot of times, that we look beyond the mark. We're not looking at Jesus Christ. We're worrying about what it is that's setting down here. And I don't think that's what it's supposed to be about. I think it's supposed to be about Jesus Christ and remembrance of Jesus Christ, remembrance of His body. Sixth chapter of Moroni, it's on page 762 in the Book of Mormon. The sixth chapter says, and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray. We do that. And to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. We do that. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We do that also. We do that. That's what the church is supposed to do, is to meet together oft for these reasons. And we meet together. We have it planned at least once a month that we meet together in remembrance of Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it happens more than that. If you're out on the road, it may happen every day for however long you're out. It depends on when you set up the meetings with the people and this and that. But we're supposed to meet together oft. I had one person ask me one time, well, what's oft? I said, oft? It's kind of like, how long is a space of time? I think they were worried we didn't take it enough. I'm not sure, but I didn't have an answer for oft. Often. And we do meet together often. You know, I mean, there's people that don't get sacrament but 2-3 times a year at the most, maybe 4 times, you know, depending on where they live. I'm thinking of Margaret Smith and Dylan. She's a long ways from everybody. And I know there's probably others out there. But we're supposed to meet together to partake of the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Page 657 of the Book of Mormon, it'd be 3rd Nephi. What did I say? I'm better with page numbers. 657. Wish you could do that with the Bible. Third Nephi, the ninth chapter. I'm going to start at verse 40. And this is when Jesus was on this continent, and he had met together with the people, and they had prayed, and they were served the sacrament. And it came to pass that meaning Jesus, and it came to pass that he brake bread again and blessed it and gave to the disciples to eat. And when they had eaten, he commanded them that they should break bread and give unto the multitude. And when they had given unto the multitude, he also gave them wine to drink and commanded them that they should give unto the multitude. Now there had been no wine, no bread, neither wine brought by the disciples, neither by the multitude, but he truly gave unto them bread to eat and also wine to drink. And he saith unto them, he that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul, and he that drinketh of this wine drinketh of my blood to his soul, and his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but shall be filled. Now when the multitude had all eaten and drunk, behold, they were filled with the Spirit. And they did cry out with one voice, and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. They gave the glory to Jesus. It's our jobs as ministers to give the bread and the wine to the multitude. And it's your job to decide if you're going to take it or not, for whatever reasons. And we'll get to some of those on down. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Page 650. Another example. It's third book of Nephi, the 8th chapter. The sacrament is in remembrance of Jesus Christ, but it's also about us. It's about how we're living our lives and if we're Christ-like. And starting in verse 28, and it came to pass that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should bring forth some bread and wine unto him. And while they were gone for bread and wine, he commanded the multitude that they should set themselves down upon the earth. And when the disciples had come with bread and wine, he took of the bread and brake and blessed it, And he gave unto the disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten and were filled, he commanded that they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he saith unto the disciples, Behold, there shall be one ordained among you, and to him will I give power, that he shall break bread and bless it, and give it unto the people of my church, unto all they which shall believe and be baptized in my name. And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it, and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown unto you. And it shall be a testimony unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. Tells me that Jesus is the focus. It also tells me that you need to be a baptized member of the Church of Christ. And it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take of the wine of the cup and drink of it, and that they should also give unto the multitude that they may drink of it. And it came to pass that they did so, and did drink of it, and were filled. And they gave unto the multitude, and they did drink, and they were filled. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus saith unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling my commandments. And this doth witness unto the Father that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you, that ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. Jesus gave a commandment to the disciples that they were to serve it. In remembrance of him. Let's skip to verse 58. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he turned his eyes again upon the disciples who he had chosen, and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you another commandment, and then I must go unto my Father, that I may fulfill other commandments which he hath given me. And now, behold, this is the commandment which I give unto you, that ye shall not suffer anyone knowingly to partake of my flesh and blood unworthily. And we shall minister when ye shall minister it. For whoso eateth and drinketh my flesh and blood unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to his soul. That's not saying that we don't like you, so we're not going to give it to you. Because it goes on, Therefore, if ye know that a man is unworthy to eat and drink of my flesh and blood, ye shall forbid him. Nevertheless, ye shall not cast him out from among you, but ye shall minister unto him and shall pray for him unto the Father in my name. And it keeps going, and if it so be that he repenteth and is baptized in my name, then shall ye receive him and shall minister unto him of my flesh and blood. But if he repenteth not, he shall not be numbered among my people, that he may not destroy my people. For behold, I know my sheep, and they are numbered. Nevertheless, ye shall not cast him out of your synagogues or your places of worship. For unto such shall ye continue to minister. For ye know not but what they will return and repent and come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I shall heal them, that's Jesus, and I shall heal them, and ye shall be the means of bringing salvation unto them. There's a worthiness that we also talk about concerning the sacrament of Christ. And that's being baptized. And I believe that's the worthiness that he's talking about here. Because when I look at the way this is, I'm not a big English person, but the way this is structured, he's still talking on the same subject when he's talking about not suffer one knowingly to partake of my flesh and blood unworthily. If you're baptized, unless the Spirit of God tells us not to, we're going to offer it to you. We're going to offer it to you because that's what we're supposed to do as ministers. you know, I'm sure that we forget on who's baptized and who's not. There's been times I've been sitting up here, I had to lean over and I said, hey, you know, the gentleman back there, that I don't know him. Is he a member of the church? And most of the time, yeah, they're visitors. But we're not to give to those that aren't baptized into this Church of Christ. And to do that, you need to be baptized by one of our ministers, because we have been given authority from God to do so. He has given us permission to do those sacraments. A sacrament is something that's sacred. Baptism is a sacrament. I'd say administration is a sacrament. Blessing little babies, serving the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why it's called a sacrament, because it's sacred. But we're not to do it, and we're to make sure that we don't do it if we can help it. To give the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, why would we give it to somebody who hasn't made a commitment to Christ? On the same note, talking about worthiness, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And this has all been read and read and read and read and read to y'all. So it's nothing new. I'm just hoping that next week when we come together to meet oft, to partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, that our focus is on Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. First Corinthians, the 11th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 23. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. I'm not a big history buff, but if I recall, and when I read a little bit earlier in this 11th chapter, that the Corinthians were making a mockery of the sacrament of Christ. They were making a feast out of it. If that's the word for it. And I got this vision that was going in my head when I was thinking about Paul and the Corinthians and stuff, and they were, because it says that they were drunk, I think. Probably.
Verse
21. Thank you. That's about where I was at. Yeah, and another is drunken. I got this picture in my head saying, hey, Jim, give me some more of that blood. But that's just me. But I got to thinking, if we're not careful, I mean, that's a far end of one side if we don't keep our focus where it should be on the sacrament. I'm not saying we'll get there, but you know, who knows? Who knows? If we don't keep our focus where it should be. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. I don't know what he's going to set in order, but Paul's going to set something in order. But when I read through this, I'm not 100% sure if he's not talking about baptism and part of it, but I also know that he says we need to look at ourselves and judge ourselves if we have aught with the neighbor, if we whatever it might be that we need to get rid of, that we need to lay at the altar before we partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And that's on our shoulders as members. That's on your shoulders if I'm serving you. If you've been baptized or not, and I go to give it to you, it's up to you. That's a choice you have to make if you're going to take it. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you thought about what it means to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ? I got one verse in the Book of Mormon. It's on page 713. It's the Book of Mormon in the Book of Mormon. And it's the fourth chapter, and it's verse 95. He's telling us to see that ye are not baptized unworthily. So what would that might entail? Oh, I don't know. Well, let's just go get baptized. That way we'll be friends with everybody in the church. It's an influential church. I got a business going on. No, that's to see that you're baptized unworthily. It's that you need to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that you need to take upon you the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and understand what that means. And that means you probably need to talk with some ministry. But we're to see that we're not baptized unworthily. See that you partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily. I just kind of read some scriptures concerning that. You know, you don't want to take it if you're not baptized. If you haven't made a commitment to Christ, why would you partake of it? But see that you do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you do this and endure to the end, you will no wise be cast out. Those scriptures that I read, and speaking of the worthiness of baptism, that's why we have what is termed closed communion. And I agree with it. There are those I wished I could serve, but they haven't made that commitment. They lead a good life. They've been baptized somewhere else. And when I look at their life, I think, boy, I sure would like to offer them the flesh and blood of Jesus, but I can't do it, and I'm not going to. Because I don't know if they believe in the same Jesus we believe in, really. But we need to make sure we don't do things in haste, that we don't get baptized unworthily, and we don't partake of the sacrament of Christ unworthily. It's something we need to prepare for. I can't think of the... Daniel had a couple of articles in the Zion's Advocate that I thought were very good about... I don't know. I saw it as preparation for partaking of the flesh and blood of our Savior. Maybe I took it wrong. I don't know. But it's something we need to constantly keep on our minds to keep us on the right track. You know, Jesus in the book of John even told people that he was that bread which came down from heaven. The sixth chapter of John. Hopefully I can cut it down a little bit. I'm going to start at verse 47. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us of his flesh to eat? I'd ask the same thing. How can he give us of his flesh to eat? Is he going to take a knife and carve part of him off and say, Here you go? No, he's not talking about the flesh, and he's not talking about the temporal, I should say. He's talking about spiritual matters. Then Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, and not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Wouldn't you think that too? I would. I struggle with these verses right in through here because I don't know as I understand them fully. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I was wondering about some of this stuff because, you know, it says that we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And it's like, man, that sounds gross, doesn't it? But I got to thinking about it. And I thought, and I was sitting at the table putting this sermon together and thinking, Lord, give me something else. And I thought, have you ever seen a little kid or loved somebody so much that you had this term like, oh, I just want to eat them up? You ever heard that? That popped into my mind, and I thought, oh, maybe there's a clue there that I can kind of understand what he's talking about, because he's talking about the spirit, and he's not talking about the temporal flesh and blood. You know, and I got to thinking, okay, because I hadn't heard that phrase in years, you know. I don't know why. The only thing I can think of is the Lord popped it into my head. And I got to thinking, okay, if you love somebody that much and you want to eat them up in that terminology, it's like you want to really get to know them real well. You want to get to know their personality. You want to get to know everything about them. And I got to thinking, wow, maybe that's what he's talking about. We need to get to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, every aspect of him. You know, his personality, what he did, what he didn't do, why he did what he did, you know. What makes him so special? He's the Son of God. That's how my simple mind understands this. Right or wrong, somebody can help me out, I hope. But anyway, that's how I understand that. Because Jesus is to the soul what the bread is to the body. You know, he's food. You know, he fills us with the Spirit if we let him. Sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to set just a little bit of groundwork here is what I'm hoping to do for when I get to the prayers that we read. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, verses 19 and 20. And Paul here says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, Paul also says here, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is. Do I take care of it or do I defile it? Now, that's one thing I use when somebody says, "Well, how about getting a tattoo?" I said, "What are you going to do, defile the temple of God?" "What?" I said, "You're going to defile the temple of God. You know, why get a tattoo? What do you want to do that for?" I mean, there's other ways. But it's not ours. We were bought with a price. We were bought with Jesus Christ. We were bought with His blood, with His death. And I'd like to go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Verse 26. "And as they were eating," Jesus and his apostles are observing the Passover. I don't know a whole lot about the Passover, but hopefully I'm right. Is the Passover is for the Jews to remember their exodus out of Egypt and how nasty that was. And that's what they were doing. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave unto the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Tells me here that Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of sins, the remission of my sins and your sins. Page 777 in the Book of Mormon pretty much says the same thing. It's the 10th chapter of Moroni. I read 29 and 30. This is Moroni's last words to us. It says, "Yea, come into Christ and be perfected in Him." As far as I know, that's the only way I'm going to be perfect is in Jesus Christ. Because when I try to do it on my own, boy, I'm telling you what, you can ask Lana, I fall terribly. "Yea, come into Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your mind, might, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then ye are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot." There again, it's telling me that the shedding of Christ's blood was for the remission of my sins. And when we partake of the sacrament of Jesus Christ, it's in remembrance of Him, what He's done for us. Well, He shed His blood for my sins, for remission of my sins, and yours also. Let's go to the prayers. It'd be page 761. It'd be, first of all, the fourth chapter of the book of Moroni. I looked a couple things up. And I looked them up in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, just to make sure that I kind of understood what the prayers are saying. First thing I did was I wanted to make sure I knew what bless meant, especially in this context. And what I got out of it is to set apart or consecrate to holy purposes, to make and pronounce holy. Sanctify. There's a whole lot of other things, but I'm hoping that I took the ones that are going to pertain to this. It says sanctify, in a general sense, to cleanse, purify, or make holy. The manner of their elders and priests administering the flesh and the flesh and blood of Christ unto the church. And they administered it according to the commandments of Christ. Wherefore we know that the manner to be true. And the elder or the priest did minister it. And they did kneel down with the church and pray to the Father in the name of Christ, saying, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he hath given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. We ask God to bless and sanctify the bread. We ask him to set it apart for a holy purpose. We ask him to cleanse and to purify it and to make it holy. That's what the prayer is for. But it also says that the bread, we do it in remembrance of the body of thy Son. So what's the remembrance of the body of thy Son mean to you? Yeah, I had to ask myself that. What's that mean to me? What's in remembrance of the body of Christ mean? Well, when I read some of this stuff, it tells me that it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the body, my body of Christ. And if I'm supposed to keep it holy in remembrance of Jesus, then I need to keep it holy. And I need to make sure I don't abuse it, because it's supposed to be the temple of the temple of God. Sometimes I don't think I do a real good job of it. But Christ gave his body for us. You know, he gave it on the cross. That's another in remembrance. And if I want to remember him, I need to do it in my body also, not just in my thoughts. Because when I follow after somebody, if you're going to follow after Jesus Christ, you need to follow after him, not just going down the road, but follow after him means you're going to do what he does and try to be Christ-like. That's why we're called Christians. But it's blessed and sanctified. And we witness unto God that we're willing to take upon him the name of his Son and remember him and to keep his commandments, that we'll have his Spirit to be with us. You know, it doesn't dwell in unholy temples. So to me, I've got to keep that thing pure so I can have the Spirit of God to still be there. To me, that makes sense. Go to the fifth chapter. And he's still talking about the priests and elders, although he doesn't say it here. The manner of administering the wine. Behold, they took the cup. That's telling me that the priest or elder took the cup, not just anybody off the street. Behold, they took the cup and said, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his spirit to be with them. Amen. Pretty much the same prayer. That we ask God to bless and sanctify it, to set it aside and to purify it, to cleanse it. In remembrance of the blood of thy Son, the blood of Jesus Christ. So I thought, what in the world does that mean to me? Well, I talked about the blood of Christ was shed for the remission of sins. So I thought, man, he did that for my sins. He did that for remission of my sins. And I got to thinking, well, I pretty much know why bread was used, because Jesus was the bread of life. Why in the world's wine used? Whether it's unfermented or fermented, it doesn't matter to me at this point. Why is it used? Why didn't he use something else? Well, I read something while I was looking through my multitude of papers and stuff that says that wine was used a symbol of emotion to the Jewish people. If I'm wrong, somebody say you're wrong right now. Okay. So not only do I have to keep my body in control if I'm wanting to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but I got to keep my emotions and my attitudes there also. And boy, is an attitude a big one with me. I heard Donnie talking about attitude. Was it last week? If it's been 7 days, it makes me weak. I can't remember. But he was talking about his sins because of the attitude that he had. And I think we all do the same thing. He's not any different than the rest of us. You know, I can get a really bad attitude at work in about that quick. Because, honestly, I'm burnt out doing what I do. I've done it for over 30 years, and I should be retiring, but I can't. Oh, woe is me, huh? Get back to the sermon. But anyway, to me, when I partake of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, it's telling me, in remembrance of Jesus Christ, that I better keep myself straight, that I better keep my body in line, and I better keep my emotions and my attitude in line with a Christ-like attitude. And that's what I'm trying to get to tonight. That's what my hope is that we can focus on the Savior, that we can focus on Jesus Christ, not on the other stuff. Now, it's up to you if you're going to partake or not. But I'm hoping that the things that I brought forth tonight might help us to draw our minds in for next Sunday when we meet together to partake of the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We call it the sacrament of Christ. That we can focus on Jesus Christ, and that we can all come in one accord focusing on Jesus Christ. Thank you.
I didn't mean to do that, but our brother Bill Malone does stand in need of our prayers. He's, I believe, still in the hospital, unless someone can correct me on that. They're having a difficult time getting his blood pressure under control, and he still has some bleeding going on in his brain that has him concerned as well. So let's remember him as well as all the others. 294 will be our closing song. Thank you. Brother Mark reminded me that I had told him and a couple others that there will not be a ministers' meeting this month. I didn't get anything set up for that, so we will not have a meeting Tuesday night. So pass the word amongst you. Anyone that's not here, let them know as well. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we have come to the close of the day, we wish to give you thanks for the things that we've been reminded of this day, for we truly have been blessed. And yet, we are humans, and we forget so quickly and return to our own ways and our own thoughts. Help us to be Christians as we proclaim ourselves, that we will have a mind of Christ to do those things which are right, that we will purge ourselves of those things which grieve you sorely, that we would gather again at the appointed time, and that we prepare ourselves not for just next Sunday, but that we prepare ourselves for the remainder of our lives to be in service of you and our fellow man. Help us to be those kinds of examples that we're called to be. Help us to have patience, to be long-suffering, to be gentle. Indeed, that our hearts be filled with charity. I ask these favors, Lord, in Christ's name, amen.